Welcome to Office Hours. I'm your host, Probable Prime. We're going to go ahead and get started very soon. If you are not sure what's going on, you're listening to me answer resonant questions for the next sort of half hour or so, drop the questions in the questions thread. I'll get to them order that they appear, and we'll go ahead and get going. To start with, a couple of announcements from me. First of all, the survey, check announcements if you're not sure. I'll get a direct link to the announcements in just a second. It ends today. We didn't have a specific time listed in the announcement, but we'll be collating and analyzing results, and then an announcement will go out after the result. There's a link to the announcement. Secondarily, we have brand new office hours starting tomorrow at exactly the same time tomorrow. We've got brand new office hours from the content team. So if you've got any content questions, you can go ahead and ask those tomorrow at the same time as this one. Do show up. It's their first session, and so attendance is usually lower for the first sort of event of this kind. But let's give them a warm welcome to the office hours location and ask them lots of questions. With those announcements out of the way, moving forwards with questions. Yosh says, what's the dog doing? I will get you a picture of what the dog's doing. Not, this isn't a live picture. This isn't what they're doing right now, but this is pretty much what they look like right now because it's their new hobby. I rearranged my living room a few months back to sort of get the sofa and the TV and the computer in a way that made sense for me. That meant putting the sofa against the window. And I don't really open the curtains, particularly during the summer, because it lets in heat. And Feta has discovered that there is a windowsill there that they perfectly fit on. And so during the day when there are cars outside that they can watch, they will sneak behind the couch and sit on the windowsill. He loves it. I'm still training him to not bark. Like, I don't mind if he's, like, intrigued, excited by whatever he's seeing. I just mind if he barks at it, because, like, he needs to understand that, like, that bark has, like, zero chance of doing something. Like, I'm on the third floor, and so if you're barking at someone at street level, they're not going to hear you. But obviously I can't explain, you know, acoustics to a dog, so I have to just train them not to. There we go, that's the dog's doing, done. Jace4 says, how is Prime doing? I'm still a bit congested. I'm not sure if it's, like, COVID. Like, I'm not, like, I wouldn't call myself suffering from COVID yet. I haven't done a test to see if I'm still positive in terms of sort of the actual virus, etc. But I don't feel sick anymore, but I do feel congested. But that's kind of normal these days because, you know, my body decided, hey, you've got allergies now to something that's in Washington State. No idea what, but there we go. I've got an appointment with an allergist on June 24th. I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully they won't just say what every other doctor says, which is like, hey, you should, like, not eat so much and go away. Like, fix my sinuses, please. Anyway, Lex says, now the survey has pretty much hit its deadline. Do you think the team has a good amount of high-quality results? Yeah, we got enough information to make a decision. We're going to do a full analysis and then probably announcement later, and then you'll start seeing stuff moving. J4 is also asking, what's the team's stance on everything regarding AI in general? I want to get, like, an official, like, hopefully only a page at most document that sort of describes that before I, like, speak wrongly, etc. Because I know that, like, certain types of AI would be against. I know that certain types of AI we already use and certain types of AI we don't use but might use in the future. You know, it's interesting. I was actually just talking to Microsoft yesterday. And by talking, I mean I sent them a few emails about you could call it AI, but that's sort of the weird way the marketing people have just attached AI to any sort of remotely intelligent code these days. It doesn't make sense. Like, for example, when you select a file to import into Resonite and Resonite figures out what type of file that is. Is it an image? Is it a video? Is it an avatar, etc.? And then it processes it accordingly. Some marketing people would call that AI. That's like how stupid this is. It's not. It's like, you know, look at the file. Oh, it's a JPEG. That means it's a picture. Import picture. But, like, they'd call it AI. And then, like, all the recommendation engines and all of the algorithms, like YouTube's algorithm, etc., they're just slapping AI on it now, because with AI comes stock pricing going up, financial investors interested, and it also starts to remove the onus on the developer to understand how it works, because YouTube doesn't understand how its recommendation algorithm works at all. And that is a problem, but they've kind of mitigated that by just slapping, it's AI. We can't understand it because it's another person. You know, it's artificial intelligence. It's a bit weird. Looks like Farouk is typing. I'll scroll around, see if I can find him. All right, it's not about AI, but yeah, I don't want to like say anything either way on the AI thing until I've got like one sheet of paper rubber stamped by the entire team. And then of course I'll shove it on the wiki. My personal sense is that it's here to stay, and so we need to work on making sure that it stays in the right way. I know that there's a bunch of like AI committees and safety boards, etc., but it isn't clear to me what they're doing. Because I haven't read into what they're doing, but I would be very interested in what they're doing if I had time to go read it, because I want to see if they're like actually doing safety or are they just sort of spinning their wheels a bit. You've seen those like Senate hearings where they ask like the TikTok CEO how Wi-Fi works and stuff like that. I hope they're not doing that sort of level. I hope it's a sort of like a more technical level than that. It's like, how do we make sure we're not doing anything like abhorrently bad for society? Modern says, when the texture resolution is set to low in your graphic settings, are the higher res textures still going to load on your end? I don't know. I would hope not. Hooks is in the channel, so hopefully I'll answer that one shortly. Moving forward to Xenaris, who says, how many education licenses that Resonaut has partnered with? That's sort of a badly worded question. I will reword it as, how many educational institutions are working with Resonaut? We don't have that information publicly right now. We do share like when the institution or the project is public, but a lot of times I don't know if it's public, so I won't talk about it until I know either way. Channelix says, are the 3D models of the Dawn modular set available somewhere as model files? That is a perfect question to ask tomorrow at the content office hours. I don't know. Scrolling down, Shadow says, why is user root separate from user ref? Each user can only have a single root at a time, right? No, you can have multiple user roots. Looks like Fruit has answered this question as well. User is the user itself, an abstract concept of someone connected to the session. User root is the representation in the scene hierarchy. They're not guaranteed to have one, e.g. headless users don't typically have a representation in the scene, therefore no user root. It's possible we'll allow multiple user roots in the future where you can switch between them. A good thing to keep in mind is that when you inhabit an avatar in a session, you're basically a weird marionette, like a weird puppet. The positions from your controllers and your other peripherals are mapped onto the avatar and piloted around like a weird mech suit. To circle back to the texture resolution question, which was, when the texture resolution is set to low in your graphics settings, are higher res textures still going to load on your end? Frick says no. That's the whole point of the setting. It won't load the resolutions beyond the limit you set unless it's specifically overridden for a given texture. That is actually one of the like cool benefits of the asset variant system. Like, it's starting to show its power. Like, we generate a bunch of variants of an image. Let's say you upload an image, we generate a bunch of variants of it, and it wasn't always clear to even me why so many variants were generated. Like, I got the general principle, but why do we need so many? But with that setting and additional settings that might come down in the future, variants are very useful for that. You know, you upload a 4K image and we've generated a variant that's at 2K. Let's load down the 2K one. Moving forwards, Trinilic says, in the debug worlds, there is a field external update time. What exactly does this mean exactly? I don't know. I haven't got the codebase open today. I'm really congested. Give me a second. I'm going to mute and blow my nose. Okay, that helped. Actually, not at all. Completely not at all. But there we go. I've got the codebase loading for external update time. Fricks might answer that, though. I have a request, which is, could the answer be shoved on the wiki? Thank you. Jeb Forge asks, I've been looking a lot at the dynamic variables page on the wiki and found it doesn't mention the synchronization mechanics of dynamic variables, but I wonder if you shouldn't drive dynamic variables, because if you drive one of them and have it elsewhere as a separate component, you now get the syncing stuff. So if you drive the variable with local values, the dynamic variable actually starts synchronizing everyone's value. Is a bug or intended? Should I document anyway? Because that's how it currently works. The best approach there is to always have in your mind one location that the dynamic variable has, which is like the main or primary copy of that dynamic variable, and you should like write to that location or drive that location. You shouldn't like write to it from like too many places or stuff like that. You should keep an eye on like basically the read-write operation of a dynamic variable, right? If you're writing to it from like lots of locations or you're driving to lots of locations, you're going to have issues. But if you have like one singular location where you're messing around with it, you'll have a lot better time. As for network traffic, I don't think driving a dynamic variable will cause network traffic because you're driving the value from that side. But hey, Fruks is probably typing. All right, jumping back around. Fruks, what's the phrase? You're making your money. You're making your salary today. Answering all the questions I got. So Fruks has updated and says, external update time is an interval on how long it takes from when Fruks Engine finishes all updating to the next time Fruks Engine is given control to update again. This is typically how long it takes before Unity decides to invoke update again and other initial stuff runs. So all the time in Fruks Engine, Unity, and just games in general, you've got different things competing for CPU time, right? So you've got, I need to handle controller input, or maybe I need to handle interrupts, things like people closing the application, stuff like that, right? At a certain point during all of that mess, Fruks Engine has to be like, okay, it's my turn. I can do it. And even within that, there's even like sub parts of Fruks Engine that again have sort of turns to do stuff as well. I don't remember an exact example of one, but you'll see it if you go through the code base. Not that you can, but you'll see it. There are areas where we have to do like waiting for us to be in the correct setup before we can do something. So it's like, oh, we have to wait until we're in the correct mode before we update a property. We have to wait till we're in the correct type of update cycle before we can do some activity. So it happens throughout. So that's why you'll often see multiple timers, particularly in the debug screen. That's to do with those as well. Jumping back up, Cyro says, you're basically a bunch of weird USB cables. This is correct. This is a phrase I told Cyro drunk. And Aegis says, we are a collection of skeleton flesh mech suits. Yes, you're a mech. You're literally a mech. If you're into mechs, you basically are one. Don't think about it too much, though. Rusio says, if asset variants, mesh cube texture, are not available from the cloud as the host, handle the generation of all variants the clients would use, or other limitations which may lead to performance or more resources used. If the asset variant queue is backed up, there is a performance detriment to just generically sessions. That's why we try and keep it running. Haven't had much luck with that. It's just a complex problem. So you'll see the graph just goes like boop up, boop down. It depends what's going on. As far as I remember, the host does do some generation of it. I can't remember if it saves them or shoves them up to the cloud, but I think it does do local generation if it's not available. Let's take a look next. Modern. It's a way to reorder context menu options in the case of overriding a tool's context menu options in terms of the order. I have a custom option that I want to have very close to the top of the menu. That is not possible right now, as far as I'm aware. You can change which way round it goes. You can do like clockwise or anti-clockwise. And sometimes that is enough to get the one in the right location that you want to do. Jumping down to Fruks. Thank you, Fruks. So the asset variant question from Rusio. There's a few things that can happen that are decided by the type of asset, variable variants, and platform running on. Client will wait on the cloud to compute the variant and not load until then. Client will get a list of existing variants and will decide to load an alternative variant if it's similar enough. E.g. for a texture, if you want box filtering but there's only bilinear, cloud will schedule box filtering to be computed, but client will load the bilinear version until the box one is ready. Client will load the raw version of the asset, which is less optimized but faster. Client will compute the variant on its end. This is usually done when the variant is necessary. So a good example of the variant being necessary might be when you read the RGB data from a texture and you do the readable checkbox, right? Or the uncompressed checkbox. At that point, it's like, all right, I specifically need the like closest to the original image variant so that you can get the color data off it. That's also why you shouldn't use that feature unless you actually need it. Like those checkboxes, like, and you only need them when you need to like read that data out. Where are we? Back up to Chonalek, who says, how does Resonate detect key presses and key held events? Is it frame rate dependent? To which Fruks says, each frame, the state is updated in the input system, and you get whatever state it was at the beginning of the update. The update rate is tied to frame rate, so yes, it's frame rate dependent. Jumping up, Bonner says, is there a way to have a smooth loop that doesn't skip at lower frame rates? Because that's a problem I'm running into right now. I don't know. Fruks! Not sure why there's lots of questions I don't know today, but there we go. Xenarus has a question that I'm much more suited to. Should the event and education team create an education world? Will there be a focus on it? Will a sort of event be made to bring attention to interactive learning worlds? I don't know what that means. Could you rephrase that question, please? Thank you. On the smooth lab thing, GitHub has been the answer to that one. That was what I was leaning on, but there we go. Xenarus's question, I'll kind of try and answer it. There's an education tab in the world browser, which Alpha Neon pointed out. There are lots of things there. There are resources out there. Sometimes they aren't even labeled with Resonate because it's just like an educational video, right? So there's nothing there. There's a bunch of stuff from the older platform in the educational space. I hope that you would see it. We got a couple of papers that are sort of pending that might come out, and then I'll link them around. Maybe we'll shove it on the wiki, etc. General says Fruks office hours. When we've discussed it a number of times, we kind of want to maybe do them at some point. I don't remember the latest on it. Is there any fun things in the pipeline currently? Yeah, kinda. I don't want to talk about it because, it was just, I was, falling asleep yesterday, and I'm like, that would be cool. I wonder if I could do that. So I'll look into that, but I won't tell you what it is. But that's going to be cool. That's one of the cool things. As for other fun things, yeah, there's a bunch of fun things. They should all be on the GitHub, though, so yeah. Actually, I need to make a public GitHub for a very sensitive topic that we are actually doing. And that's in early research, but I'll talk about it. So we want to eventually, I don't know the timeline on this, I'm just sort of researching it right now. We can shove images through a service to figure out if they're illegal or not. And we want to integrate that such that we handle that appropriately. It's not a fun topic to talk about, but it's really cool once it's in place because it's really not only does it protect the community once that's in place, but it also protects the victims of that once it's in place. So that it's not fun, but I find it fun because the technology is amazing and everyone working in that space is yep, whatever you guys need. Zedris says, a bunch of smart people make a world about smart thing that relates to a real world topic such as neuroscience. Will Resonate do something to bring attention to those? Yes, we actually want to get case studies onto our website whenever something like that happens. We have an existing case study for the Meta Movie Project, I believe. But we want to get more on for any sort of educational establishments doing cool stuff. I remember there you go. There's a live production page where we talk about Meta Movie. It's a really good page, actually. Chrome is good like that. Although, Chrome, if you're listening, the horizontal scroll bar is still there. I tease Chrome about the horizontal scroll bar periodically. Right, that's Xenarus's question. Let me jump up. Okay, below OZ. Okay, cool. Cosmic Waffle. Are there any plans to add a Flux node intended for commenting on Flux, like just a label that can point to another node, the same way a reference field does for organizational purposes? Right now I use a disconnected string input and put it near what I want to label. Comments, I'm not sure. We do, Protoflux isn't finished, at all. We want to redo the node visuals, or at least tweak them a little bit more. We also want to do the node browser, and then there's a bunch of gaps in Protoflux, like collections and all sorts of stuff like that. And so, Protoflux isn't finished, and so it's likely that we'll have some answer to commenting at some point, but I don't know what, format that would take right now. Lever asks, are there plans on accessing data on a user's computer with permission, of course? We're sticking right now to the file browser and the import stuff because that allows people to selectively import data. If you mean things like reading files and stuff like that, probably not for the moment. Maybe once hard permissions hits. We do currently have file writing, but you need to be in the unsafe mode. I can, like, hear myself getting sicker by the moment. What is going on? We do have file writing, but you need to be in an unsafe session to do that. An unsafe session is one that is on LAN only, and that lets you write files. That functionality is for research projects. It's not for, like, generic file writing and reading. Highlander says, is there any way to reduce the amount of grip pressure needed on index? Yes, you can swap to a binding set in the SteamVR bindings menu. I think there's a couple of community ones there that have a reduced grip strength. There's an expansion on the asset variance thing. Fabricio's asking an additional question. For dev or local sessions that don't rely on the cloud or have content that has missing variants, does this mean the performance and resource utilization in those sessions may not be as optimal? Or does the client tend to optimize towards the best performance when cloud variants are missing or not fetched as the assets are local? And Fruks answered that with, locally imported assets will always have variants computed locally. It will compute variants that it would request from the cloud if it was a cloud asset in that case. It means that there's a bigger load on the client for the compute. We can strain it to just a thread or two. I forget what it's set to. Reminder, we're multi-threaded, see? There's the word thread. We can strain it to a thread or two. That's two threads. That's multi-threaded. So it doesn't kill the frame rate too much. All right, let's just jump back up. Where are we going? Yeah, Zyro's clarifying. Yep, you can do the SteamVR's built-in bindings menu. There's a binding called Turk's bindings for index, which reduces the grip strength needed. You go for that. Universal Star Kid asks, I'd like to learn how to build creations from scratch, example creations being functional cars. Who can I go to start learning these systems? I don't recommend starting with cars right now. The reason behind that is because while we have some fantastic vehicles that exist and they're very well maintained by the community that are building them, they're using hacky stuff, and because they're using hacky stuff, it's sort of more difficult to do. We do plan to have rigid body support at some point, and that will enable much easier things like cars and stuff like that. So I avoid talking about like that sort of area, not because you can't do it, as evidenced by other people that have successfully made cars, but it's just a lot more complicated to start with. If you're brand new to the platform, which I think you are because I don't recognize your name or profile picture, I would start smaller. So think about the component parts of a car and learn how those work first. Like, could you make a steering wheel? And it doesn't need to be a steering wheel. You could do a valve. You know, in video games where there's like a big steel door and you have to like open it and it's a button mash, you could build that. That'd be an interesting thing to start with learning. Maybe you do a gear stick next, and that'll teach you how to do like a big lever. You know, learn the parts of it, and you'll slowly make your way towards a car. Zyro, when multi-process architecture comes around, are there plans to make the input system a separate process and become event-based? No idea. We'll see if Fruks answers that one. Okay, I'll pick that one up in a moment. Alpha Neon says, if that image recommendation is integrated, please don't let moderation be automated. False flags happen all the time, and it's ruined people's lives with false flag. Just concerned. Yeah, don't worry about it. For the particular type of images we'll be starting with, it's guaranteed not to be a false flag. I'll paste the link. It's a Microsoft product, and you can read it. Do keep in mind that it is a tough topic. Lev's asking about, can we have labeled backgrounds like Unreal Blueprints? That's again sort of commenting, labeling, etc. Frix is not a nerd, but like to add additional UI for organizing and labeling nodes and groups of nodes. We also want to do like nested nodes. So say you've got like a complicated protoflux setup that you keep writing. You'd be able to make a nested node for that and then save that and plug it in, which would be great. There's all sorts of things I want to use that for. Shadow says, a priority voting for patrons to the thing. The wiki page on Patreon doesn't mention it, although wiki search does return the Patreon page when searching for priority. No, that's no longer a thing. I'll check why the wiki is throwing it up when you search for priority. Jay says, with low motion mode being kicked off in Devlog, are there any other accessibility options that will come relatively soon? I think so. One of the things I want to do with low motion mode as well that I need to sort of take a look and figure out how to do is, when low motion mode is enabled, it might make sense to touch a bunch of other settings. So you enable it and it does all the low motion mode that's talked about on the GitHub, but maybe it also slows down the animation of the dash opening and closing and stuff like that. And that's another setting. So you know when, where are we? Yeah, here. You know when you see in Windows, like, some of these settings are managed by your organization, right? I want that sort of system for low motion mode. So you turn on low motion mode, and it, you know, changes the dash setting to be a slower motion animation. And then I want that to be locked, and you'll have to turn off low motion mode to then touch that again, or something like that. I'm still working on that, because, like, that's a system that doesn't exist right now, but it does make sense. Additionally, we're going to get to the point where we do need some of those settings to be controlled by your organization and business contracts and stuff, so I'm taking a look at that. I don't really know how I'm going to do it, or even if it's a valid idea. I'll talk to I'll talk to Fruits about it at some point, and we'll see what's going on. It's just an idea right now. But that will enable low motion mode to touch a lot more, because right now its approach is very sort of limited to one particular area. Which reminds me, the low motion mode, when you turn it on, I also want to pop up a dialogue that basically says, like, you've turned it on, but there's no guarantee. Like, I don't want there to be the assumption of a guarantee. I want there to be, like, you've turned it on, we'll do our best, but there's still no guarantee. Because I would hate for it to be turned on, and then we miss something, and someone to suffer from that. All right, jumping around. Cosmic Waffle says, I know there's a UI rework being worked on. I want to suggest something. Would you consider adding a short one-sentence description of what nodes components do when you hover over them? Yes, there's an issue for tooltips and stuff like that on the GitHub where you can see all the discussion about that. Janak says, saying it's guaranteed to not be false flag is very dangerous. I do not know the technology, but any automated system can fail. This particular automated system is very cool. It takes the service takes known images and hashes them in a way that stores just the hash, and then we send the image to the service, and the service compares it against that hash, and it goes like, hey, this matches an existing image that we're aware of, and then it kicks off some systems. It's like, it's not AI, it's hash, right? So it's like a human has been like, this is horrendous, it's in the PhotoDNA system, it's hashed, and then we compare it to the hash. So it's not AI. There's more information on the website there. I've used it before. It was implemented at Mixer. It's really cool. It's really cool. It's just like a really heavy topic, though. Shadow's updated that the priority thing is from a redirect. That's actually, leave the redirect in there, maybe. Like, it's good that the redirect exists, because people might think it's still a thing, and then the redirect tells them, hey, it's not. And Spec says, yes, PhotoDNA is only about known matches. It's like, it's not AI. It's very clearly not AI. Rusia says, since threading was mentioned, and only because our protoflux groups executed in parallel with each other are limited to execute sequentially. That's a freaked question as well. Lots of, like, really technical things here that, like, it's not that I don't know them, it's that I haven't had a chance to know them. Sil has a question. I've been having trouble saving my worlds and keeping them on my PC. Anyway, for unpublished items to stay staved onto my PC before published. You can technically save a world orb to your local home, and that will save the world entirely local. What you do is you hit save on the world, it pops up that world orb, which has save here and save to inventory on it. Grab that world orb, switch to your local home, and push save here. We don't recommend it for many applications, but if you absolutely need it, you can do that. Modern says, where are the user settings kept? I want to delete the Resonite folder again because of the slow loading bug, but I don't want to lose my full body calibration. They're stored on the cloud and locally, so you should be fine. Lever says, anyone know why Resonite is so incredibly RAM hungry? I have no idea, but with essentially a stock setup, it needs to fill 12 gigs for the swap file. The game isn't even 12 gigs, and there is no 12 gigs over the network. Where is it coming from? Are you in, like, the cloud home? Like, a local home? Like, or is it just normal? Cosmic asks, are there plans to eventually have the storage usage bar update without restarting the game? It does update without restarting the game. It just might take a little while. Levis is one local. I've not entered any worlds yet. So we're currently doing a survey that closes today about working on performance or working on IK. And you should go fill that in and make sure that you check performance, and then we can start taking a look at things like RAM usage, etc. I'll make a public issue about PhotoDNA at some point, you can read about it. Like, it's really good. Like, I worked at Microsoft. I met with the people who make the service. Like, and it's 100% free, because people are like, it's better if we just make this free, and I agree. And that's months out as well. I just We need to get the ball rolling on that. Let's take a look. I think full body calibration isn't stored in the cloud, is it? I don't know. I could take a look, but like we're at time here. Emergency temporal shift says, I am supposed to stay with you when you swap worlds. If you are holding them, yes, you can transfer items between worlds if you're holding them. Let's take a look here. No more questions, by the way. Questions are over. We're at 37 past. Jeb asks, still don't know what to do about dynamic variable syncing. Make a bug report, and then if it's not a bug, we can close it, and then you'll know that you can document it on the wiki. Like, that's probably the best way forward there. Cosmic says, in your survey for the next priority, you mentioned the targets to double performance. What metric are you aiming for? Whatever metric we can. We're going to just look at a bunch of things. One of the problems I'm noticing with the performance update is the users have different interpretations of what we should be doing. And so what we're saying is we're going to research it, right? We're going to like take Resonate, dump it on the floor, rummage around, find out what we need to do and do it. And when we start doing that, we'll have more information about what's coming and what's changing and how things are better. And as performance related updates start hitting the change logs, you'll start seeing performance gains. And at some point in the future, once the performance update is quote done, because it will never be done, but like, you know, once it's quote done, you could probably do a video where you open like old Resonite and new Resonite side by side on like a YouTube video and look at time to like first meaningful input and stuff like that. And then you'll start feeling the performance gains. We did that with Mixer once, actually. We dropped our load time, like our initial page load time from like 10 seconds down to 2 seconds or like 1 second or something. And we did a side by side YouTube video and everyone was like, hell yeah, that was really good. Sil says, is 3D scanning a good way to make new assets? What should I try not to do? 3D scanning is fantastic for getting the initial geometry, but it will give you messy, high-poly geometry that isn't suitable for games, basically. What you can do is bring the geometry into Blender and then retopologize it, and then you have like a good starting place to make a new asset, but you can't keep it as an asset if you want a performance. You can import 3D scan models into Resonate. Fruks does it all the time. They're fine because they're just to look at. But when you start doing things like, hey, I want to walk on it, or I want to interact with it, or I want 100 of these in a scene, let's say you 3D scan, I don't know, a fire extinguisher, and you want to put a fire extinguisher in every corridor of your military base for your game inside Resonate, you'd want to retopo that down to like a cylinder. Full body calibration is stored in your setting data. Thanks for that, Fruks. Fruks is also confirming the storage bar should update without restarting the game. It should update. It just might take a minute or two. All right, double checking for more questions. Zenerys says, will there be a possibility that the Resonate team will expand its team members? Yes. So we swapped our volunteer page on our website over to a careers page. The reason we did that is because like it's not really appropriate to use the term volunteer anymore. Like we need to find a way to pay people. And that's one of the gaps on expanding that. Like, we don't want people doing work for free if we can avoid it, because it's a really bad sort of social, political, cultural thing to do. And we don't really want to do it anymore. Cosmic says, any plans to add to the existing built-in tutorial? Yes, people on the team really, really want to make additional tutorials and additional announcements to that. I think that's all the questions. As I said, I'll throw up some GitHub issues for items that don't have them available, and you can read more. If you have any additional questions, do let me know. You can feel free to DM me or ask any questions to help. And we'll leave off here, and I will speak to you guys soon.